First Samuel chapter 3, reading please from the verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou dost call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering for ever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. We'll turn again in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And in verse 21, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to the preaching. Let us each pray. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word, and we ask that help would be granted to us as we meditate over thy word. O Lord, take thy truth, we pray, and seal it to every heart. O Lord, we pray for those in the meeting that are like Samuel at the beginning of this account. They know not yet the Lord. Speak to them, we pray. And for every believer, we pray that we will hear the Lord's voice afresh. Grant that needed help then in the ministry of thy truth. The help of the promised Holy Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The raising of Samuel to be a prophet was the Lord's answer in a very difficult age. The ministry of Samuel is really something of a bridge between two Old Testament eras. The ministry of Samuel marked the close of the era of the judges, when every man had done that which was right in his own eyes. But it formed the introduction to a new age, the age of the kings. And so it would be through the ministry of Samuel that both King Saul and King David were anointed. Now the period between these two eras, that of the judges and that of the kings, was one that was marked out by apostasy, by a falling away from the things of God. There was an neglect of the place of worship. There was corruption among the Levitical priests, and those whose task it was to uphold the things of God were most corrupt. It was a time of great immorality. Again, that was evident even among the priesthood. It was a time of spiritual ignorance through the population. And yet in the midst of all of that, the Lord raised up a man, that is, Samuel. And the raising up of Samuel was God's answer to the prayers of a dear lady who was without child. Hannah, being grieved over that fact that she had no child, she had prayed to the Lord that the Lord would give her not only a child, but specifically a son, that she might then give back that one to the Lord. And Hannah then not only recognized her own need, but over and above that, she recognized the need in the land. There's the need of a faithful prophet. And so she prayed, Lord, give me a man that I might give him back unto thee. And as the Lord was pleased to deal with young Samuel, he was certainly taken and used instrumentally. In the 1 Samuel chapter 12, we read of the legacy of Samuel. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 3, Samuel says, behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore it you. Now, if the sons of Eli had asked that question, of course, Many answers could have been given, but in verse 4 they said, "Thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." Samuel had served the Lord with dignity, with honor, with integrity. And that was certainly a most marvelous thing. In a time when there was bribery and corruption, Samuel stood apart as a holy man of God. And isn't that what is needed in our day? We see corruption. We see depravity. We see great trouble that sin brings in every hand. And there is need then for the raising up of godly men and godly women to be holy in the midst of a wicked generation. And so in 1 Samuel 1, Samuel was prayed for in the sense that Hannah prayed that Samuel would be born. In 1 Samuel 2, Samuel was presented. Hannah brought him as a young child to stay and to work in the house of God. And then in 1 Samuel 3, we see Samuel's privileges. Now, it's not, of course, that there were no privileges for Samuel before this chapter. And we see that he was privileged having Hannah as a mother. But I want us to see the privileges that are set forth in this third chapter of 1 Samuel. I want to say, first of all, with you, that the things of God were before his eyes. The things of God were before his eyes. You see, in chapter 2, when Hannah made the journey with her husband to Shiloh, she presented Samuel to Eli to be in the house of God and to serve in the house of the Lord. And this is what Samuel did. In chapter 2 and the verse 18, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord." Samuel ministered in the Lord's presence. And we have the same words then in chapter 3, verse 1. "The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Samuel ministered. That is, he served. He worshipped. And what was this ministry in particular? Well, I think there are clues given in this third chapter. In verse 3, it talks about the lamp of God, and the lamp of God was not to go out. And then immediately it talks about Samuel was led down to sleep. And so it's certainly inferred here that one of the tasks of Samuel was to ensure that the lampstand in the holy place never went out. And so this lamp of oil was always to be kept burning. And here then was a task assigned to Samuel. Make sure that that lamp never goes out. In this chapter, in the verse 15, we read of Samuel opening the doors of the house of the Lord, the doors of the outer court. And again, that would surely imply to us that this was one of the tasks of Samuel, to open and close the doors to the house of the Lord. Now, it does speak in this chapter, in 1 Samuel, of the temple of the Lord. Verse 3, the temple of the Lord. But we have to remember, this was not the temple that Solomon built, for Solomon was not even yet born. The temple here is really the tabernacle, the structure that the children of Israel had carried through the wilderness. Now, in order to have it maintained, presumably some changes were made to it in order that it would become more permanent in one place, not moving from place to place as the tabernacle was in the wilderness. But Samuel then was in this building, laboring for the Lord. And he, in his labor to keep the lamp burning, would obviously see the lampstand. Now, the lampstand has a great gospel message. The lampstand speaks of how Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And that language is used in the Bible to speak of how we have been born in sin, born in darkness. This is something that is common to every one of us in the meeting. We were all born in spiritual darkness. Our eyes closed to the great truths of God, and we could not deliver ourselves from that darkness. In fact, such is sin and man's love for his sin. Man has no desire of himself to leave the darkness. And the terrible consequence is then that he will go to the place of eternal darkness, separated from God forever. But God in great mercy provided a means of escape. Jesus Christ came as the light of the world. And you see, this holy place, it was always in darkness in the sense there was no daylight in it. And so the light was to shine day and night because there is needed the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing the lampstand, Samuel would also have saw the veil. The veil was the curtain between the holy place and the holiest of all. And Samuel would not dare to touch that veil or to draw it back. Behind it was the Ark of the Covenant. And that veil, again, was preaching the gospel to young Samuel. Because the veil has this lesson, that man is kept away from the presence of God. For the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God was seen to dwell on earth. But man was not allowed in there. Only the high priest could go there once a year with blood that he would take and sprinkle upon the lid of that ark, the mercy seat. Sin has brought a barrier between God and man. And the scripture then speaks of the veil being torn in two. How was that so? Through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for you to come to God, the only way for you to know God, is through Jesus Christ. Samuel then would have seen the lampstand, the veil. Also in that holy place was the showbread, or the bread of faces. It speaks of how Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The sinner longs for satisfaction. All through life, the sinner is trying to find peace. He is trying to find joy. And it's pictured in Scripture then as hunger. And many people will search for that hunger, or search for satisfaction for that hunger, rather, in places that cannot satisfy. But Jesus Christ came as the bread of life. It is He that satisfies. Samuel would have seen the altar, speaking of the necessity of shed blood. The only way to God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He also would have seen the altar of incense. That is a place where hot coals were brought and the priest would pray. And he would be taught this lesson, God answers prayer. God hears the cry of the sinner for mercy. And so Samuel had before him every day these picture lessons of the gospel. And therefore Samuel was so highly privileged. In chapter 2, verse 17, it speaks at the end of that verse of men abhorring the offering of the Lord. That is, when the people through the country saw the sin of the sons of Eli, many people stayed away from the house of God. They said, that is just a place of hypocrisy. And as far as the sons of Eli was concerned, they were right. But many people stayed away. In contrast, here we have a young man living in the house of God. And therefore, how privileged he was. And there is an obvious application then for the children and young people in our meeting today. And indeed, there's an application for us all. That it's our privilege today to be found in the house of God. It's our privilege to be in a place where sinners are warned about their sin. Where sinners are warned of judgment to come, just judgment. And where sinners are told to flee from the wrath that is to come. Where sinners are exhorted to get to Jesus Christ. That is a great privilege. And children, then, I encourage you to appreciate your privilege. Teenagers ought to appreciate their privilege. Sometimes children can have great enthusiasm in the house of God, but when they come to their teenage years, there's that rebellion that comes. Children and teenagers and adults should remember the privilege. What a privilege to hear the word of God. You see, the sons of Eli, they had the privileges that Samuel had. They had privileges of being under the sound of God's word in their childhood and through those teenage years. And they longed for liberty. They longed to be able to get away from constraints, and they did get away from constraints. But what better consequences it brought to those young men. Therefore, do not despise the privileges. But in having privilege, respond to the message presented. So Samuel was privileged because the things of God were before his eyes. I want to see, secondly, that Samuel was privileged because the word of God was in his ears. The word of God was in his ears. Three times Samuel heard a voice calling, Samuel. And Samuel presumed that it was the call of Eli. Presumably, Eli had called many a time before. The third time Eli came to realize that Samuel is actually hearing someone calling him. It's the Lord calling. And so Eli said, when you hear the voice again, reply, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Speak, your servant is listening. And it's always a privilege to hear the word of God. But what a privilege to hear the Lord speaking to your heart. And that was the privilege that Samuel had. The Lord spoke to his heart. You see, what happened to Samuel really stands in contrast to what is explained in verse 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. When it says there the word of the Lord was precious, it was precious in the sense that it was rare. This wasn't a time when God was speaking to prophets and the prophets then speaking to the population. Generally speaking, the voice of God was not heard at that time. No open vision. The people had set aside the things of God. And the Lord, as he sometimes does, had responded by saying, you don't want to hear my voice. You won't hear my voice. But in grace, the Lord came and spoke to Samuel.
In verse 7 it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Samuel did not yet know the Lord.
And I don't want you to miss that statement. Samuel was serving in the Lord's house. Samuel was keeping the lamp burning. Samuel would open and close the doors of God's house, but up until this point, he didn't actually know the Lord. He knew a lot of things about the Lord. And he could recite things that had been taught by his mother, as well as, I'm sure, as he had been taught by Eli. And yet, despite all of that hearing, Samuel did not yet know the Lord himself. What does it mean? He was not converted. In fact, we read the same language of the sons of Eli in chapter 2, verse 12. They knew not the Lord. They were not converted. And so there was Samuel serving, but he didn't know the Lord. Or we could put it another way. Samuel was circumcised, but he didn't yet know the reality of what circumcision spoke of. There was a mark on his body, but the word of God had not pierced right through to his heart. There was an outward cleansing, but not yet an inward cleansing. So we could put it another way concerning unconverted people in God's house today. It's possible to be baptized, but not converted. It's possible to have received the sign, but have not yet received the reality. And therefore, as Christian parents, we must remember, there is always that obligation upon us to teach our children, to exhort them to repent, to exhort them to believe. We must be as Hannah, because though the scripture doesn't tell us, I'm sure that when Hannah dropped off Samuel at the house of God and said goodbye, I'm sure she continued to pray earnestly for him. That not only would he do a good job serving, but they would actually know the Lord himself. We are to pray over our children. We are to plead over our children. We are indeed to pray that the Lord would come and reveal himself to them. In verse 10, it says, "The Lord came and stood." Isn't that a beautiful thing? The Lord came and stood. And he spoke again, this time effectively, onto the heart of that young man. Now, what was the word that Samuel came to hear that night? So it speaks here of how he did not yet know the Lord. But the Lord came and called him. And Samuel did say, "Speak now." The message was about judgment. Judgment over the house of the old priest, Eli. Verse 13, "I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Samuel, I'm sure, was very fond of old Eli. And I'm sure he shuddered at those words as the Lord spoke to him. What a difficult thing it was to hear. "I will judge the house of the old priest." And therefore, I'm not surprised that Samuel didn't immediately run out and share the message with Eli. And yet, as the Lord had spoken to Samuel concerning such solemn subjects, it did not harm him. It did not destroy him. Rather, it made a lasting impression upon him. Samuel was never the same again. And oh, that today, dear sinner, that you would be awakened to see the awfulness of your state. That just as there was judgment for the house of Eli, there is judgment for every sinner that has not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. There is judgment for everyone that does not yet know the Lord. And oh, that today the Lord would speak to your heart. That your heart would be opened not only to see judgment, but to see the answer. Jesus Christ is what the sinner needs. For while this judgment was to come, praise God that he would raise up his own son, Jesus Christ, to stand in the sinner's place, to stand in the place of all that would believe. Your duty then today, repent and believe. The word of God was in his ears. And I want to say finally, the presence of God was in his heart. The presence of God was in his heart. In verse 19, we have beautiful words. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord had always been watching over Samuel. But Samuel could now testify, the Lord is actually with me. I know the Lord's presence. God's presence is absolutely crucial. For it speaks here of how it was known from verse 20, from Dan to Beersheba. It's really a way of saying from north to south, everyone knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. But there was no point in Samuel being a prophet if the Lord was not with him. Every one of us need to have the Lord with us. God's presence is crucial. God's presence is comforting. You think of how the Lord had said to Samuel these very solemn words. Eli, in effect, will be taken away from you. You won't have the presence of old Eli anymore. There'll come a day when I remove him. But the Lord said, be comforted, because I will be with you. And through life, relationships are broken. There are those that are taken away from us. There can be times of loneliness in the workplace, in school, possibly even in the home. Yet what a blessing if the Lord's people know the Lord is with me. God's presence is comforting. And I want to say finally with you, God's presence is conquering. For when it says here, the Lord was with Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, one of the common names of the Lord is the Lord of hosts. In fact, it's used for the first time in this book. 1 Samuel 1 verse 3. It speaks of how yearly they went up to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts. It's used again in chapter 1 verse 11. In chapter 4 verse 4. It speaks of the ark of the covenant of the Lord that would be fetched out of Shiloh. And we have this in verse 4, then it says, the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts. So God's name in the book of 1 Samuel is very often the Lord of hosts. It has the idea of the Lord of armies. It's bringing out the idea of the Lord's great strength. Now there were some, tragically, and they looked at that very superstitiously. And they thought the Lord's strength is in the box, the Ark of the Covenant. As long as we have the box with us, then we have God with us. But that was mere superstition. And so there are people today, and they think as long as I've got a Bible in the house, that all should be well. They might never open and read it, but it's just an item of superstition. Indeed, some people think that because they are baptized or have had some other ceremony, that all should be well. And yet they haven't got the reality. It's just an empty superstition. But for Samuel, the Lord of hosts was really with him. The conquering Lord. And so when Hannah prayed then that the Lord would raise up a child, when she prayed that the Lord of hosts would look in her affliction, she was saying, I believe that you're well able to do a miracle. You're well able to bring a great transformation. And what the Lord did in Hannah, the Lord was able to do through Samuel. The Lord of hosts was with him. Therefore, Samuel could go out and face difficulties, and he would face many difficulties in his ministry. But he was always to have this assurance, I have the Lord with me. The Lord of hosts, or as it is in the Hebrew, Lord Sabaoth. Samuel now knew the Lord. The Lord of hosts was with him. Today, if you're here without the Lord, it is our prayer for you that you would come to know the Lord if you know him not as yet. Our Lord Jesus came that sinners might know him, that sinners might be brought into relationship with him. Therefore, today, may you recognize your need and come humbly, call upon the Lord for mercy. May the Lord indeed save your soul. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.